place. Valet pays the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son is
back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Text line once again 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show, Parker Griffith, and in about 2 hours from now, John Wall, the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, will make time for us, so stick around for that as well. But joining us now on the line, got to hear him last night, and was the inspiration for this appearance today. But Angelo Fermo joins us on the line. He's a former DHS agent. Angelo, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me on the show again. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I do appreciate that as well. So I think this is an important discussion, and especially as it pertains to the election coming up, and just like the difference you saw going from in difference we saw as a country, I guess, in immigration policy, which is you see it like it shows itself before your eyes, going from Obama to Trump to Biden, and like talk about that, and like, you know, because you just see like it's not, you know, it's not just little tweaks here and there. It's significant, like country changing quality of life circumstances.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, you know, to kind of to get a grasp on it, I mean, DHS as a whole, you know, you have Border Patrol, Customs and Border Protection, you have ICE, you have HSI, all the components with under Department of Homeland Security that enforce the immigration policies. You know, you got to remember, Jeff, like DHS was created, you know, early parts of 2000 after 9/11. So it was still in its infancy stages, growing and developing. And then Obama comes in. It kind of became basically, I hate to say this, a political tool within, you know, a system of, you know, trying one side, Republicans are strong on immigration and Democrats are lax and easy going on immigration. And under Obama, you saw it where it started slowly progressing, you know, as his tenure in there went on. For example, like we would arrest immigrants here, you know, in the area. We would put them in deportation proceedings. They would go over to a transportation facility, which is ICE holds them and then deports them back to their home country in Oakdale, Louisiana. Well, Obama at one point had created a policy where they had lawyers, immigration lawyers, review documents, and if the crime wasn't too bad, they would just turn around and release them back onto the street. So you saw Obama starting to do that process of catch and release. You know, some of the stuff going on the border, you saw a lot of stuff where they were, you know, laxed on immigration. Then you transition to Trump, who campaigned on tough immigration policies. I'm going to build a wall, which he started building the wall. And everybody has different opinions. You know, my perspective and opinions is it's all the efforts, all of the tools being used simultaneously, drones on the border, increased border patrol agents. You definitely build the walls to push, you know, immigrants to certain, you know, areas. Trump had the, you know, remain in Mexico policies and stuff. And I think you saw that over his time in office. I saw it start to be aggressive to the point that by the time Trump left, I mean, I used to joke with because in our building in Mobile, we would share the facility. I mean, it was a nice facility, but the other side is your immigration deportation officers. And I would joke with them at the end, you know, of Trump's, you know, time in office there coming up that, hey, you guys have been so busy that y'all, you know, kind of laxed and easy going now, you know, because, I mean, they were really busy in the beginning, deportation processing, and then you go into Biden, and they've tried to change the narrative now that, and they think that the general public is dumb and stupid, and they don't remember the things that they said years ago. He said it day one: the borders are open. Come to the United States; everybody's welcome. Before he's even sworn in, he's already making massive political changes and using DHS, Department of Homeland Security, as another political tool. within that first week or so in office, you know, we're getting emails. You will not refer to them as illegal aliens anymore. You will refer to them as, I can't remember the term they wanted us to use, non-U.S. citizens, which in they're making up, they're changing names that are not even, aren't even conflicting with the laws. Like if you go to buy a firearm, for example, you know, it says on the firearm, ATF form, you know, are you an illegal alien? And I made a joke one time at the gold mine call. I was like, I can't sign this form. Biden says I have to refer to him as non-U.S. citizens. So you saw that coming in. They really clamped down on ICE on the inside as far as the side with HSI, which was I was a part of. That basically, if you wanted to, at that first year or so he was in office, if you apprehended or encountered an immigrant and you wanted to deport him, you had to get permission from your main office, then it would have to go to D.C., and that's ridiculous. It's basically hand-tying your enforcement side of policies from doing their job. And it just got progressively worse. Everybody in my office in Mobile, the joke was once they saw Biden get in office, a lot of them were like, well, we're going out and getting liability insurance because we don't believe the administration is going to cover our back if anything happens. So you saw it. It was aggressive under Trump. Like I mentioned last night, Trump, you know, he really pushed for a lot of different aspects. The hire U.S. workers program was one of his big things. I mean, they hired a lot of accountants. They had a whole division within ICE that basically focused on hiring. You know, they would do the accounting audits, and if you weren't hiring U.S. citizens, you would get fined. I mean, there's a lot of people within Mobile County and Baldwin County that got issued fines for not hiring. For not hiring U.S. workers and hiring illegal aliens. And I mean, I would go out to issue some of the fines on the company and I would tell them, hey, did you vote for Trump? And they're like, well, yeah, you know, I wanted him in because he's aggressive and the economy's great. And I said, well, he also ran on a platform that you're going to hire U.S. workers. And if you don't, you're getting a fine. So here's your fine. So that goes to show you the two between the kind of comparison between Biden and like I said, now that you're seeing it just, it's gotten so worse. You know, they harp on this immigration bill that they wanted to pass, but their compromise is, well, let us let 2 million a day come through. Well, that's 2 million too many. I mean, they just need to work on fixing and trying to overhaul that immigration system. And I know maybe this is wishful thinking, but, you know, I do hope that they do need to address some of the issues, the DACA program, you know, and the other immigration policies and issues. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part that hopefully, you know, Trump wins. Maybe we get lucky and get the Senate. You get the House and the Senate. Maybe for the first time, we will actually see a major overhaul of the immigration policies. Give it some teeth. You know, make some of these, you know, laws have some more strict policies, and maybe give the United States Attorney's Office here more tools in their tool belt to attack and charge for immigration criminal violations. And that's what I would also like to see as well. You know, you have these people taking advantage of workers, and, you know, some of them keep their passport and make them kind of work off a slave type of situation. You know, make it more stringent penalties. If you get caught, you go to jail for that. You know, if you get deported as a criminal alien and you decide you want to come back to the United States, make the crimes tougher on the immigration policy. Make it so difficult that they're like, you know what, I don't want to go back there because I'm going to go to jail for 10 years. And I hope that kind of, you know, answers a little bit of it, so you can kind of see both sides of where it was at from lax. But it definitely has become a political game between the Democrats and the Republicans on how they use ICE as a whole and DHS as a whole for their immigration stuff.
How much within the agency itself, or within that department, you know, we always talk about deep states and administrative state, the culture within that, and you know, a lot of civil servant work is that tends to be a political culture of the left. It's just the nature of government. You don't find many like Ayn Randian libertarians going to work for like the Department of Education or whatever. What is the culture like within DHS? Is it just like a lot of these DC sort of functions in need of some kind of reform or house cleaning?
You know, as far as DHS, once you get up to those levels where their cabinet positions appointed, you know, and I don't know how you fix that. You know, the cabinet's positions are always going to be there. They're always going to get appointed by the president. And that trickles down into the ranks. But your rank and file, for the most part, are aggressive. Nobody signs up. You know, everybody that joins law enforcement within those entities. They're just there to enforce the laws. They're on the books, and they want to do a good job, and they want to have a good career, and they want to do their job. And that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, they don't, in the rank and file, you're not having people, you know, political driven, you know, everybody, I mean, you have difference of opinions. Even in my office, we have Democrats, Republicans, we'd have, you know, cordial conversations about it. You know, we would joke about it back and forth with one another, but it never affected deviating from the law. The law says this, we're going to go arrest this person for that. And that's the culture in the rank and file. You know, now when you get up into the DC ranks and you get into the ones where they're political appointees, that's where politics starts playing a factor. And that politics does trickle down to the rank and file. Like I mentioned, when Biden took over, that they wanted you to write a letter, you know, approval to, you know, deport someone. I mean, that's ridiculous. That shouldn't even come down from a higher above. It's our job to go out and perform those functions, and it's a job to remove that immigrant if he was here in violation of a crime and be deported. And I hope that makes some sense on that front.
Well, I mean, I just, because I think Trump should win, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but if Trump should win, then you know, the hope is that he comes in and he starts looking at these agencies that have been worked against him in his first term, and it kind of cleans house. And
I hope so too.
Yeah, but you know, what does that look like? How far down the food chain does he need to go? He can't just go in and fire everybody, obviously, because then who's gonna, you know, perform these tasks? So with DHS, I mean, like you said, it's relatively new compared to, you know, everything else in Washington, but everything kind of folds under that umbrella, I guess. How do you even start with that and peeling the layers of that onion to get done what you need done?
I think, you know, and again, this is just my opinion, you're going to need a long, not just a 4-year term. You're going to need a 4, 8, 12-year possibly term. You know, Trump steps down, J.D. Vance runs and hopefully wins and then carries it for 2. You would need a long term extended, because not only would you have to replace the appointed position, you know, most of those people that get appointed in those positions, they start handpicking the people they want to move up into the ranks. You know, they selectively pick their ones that they're then charged of running the agencies. So you would almost have to have a long-term extended Republican run to be able to replace some of those higher-ranking positions. I mean, it's one of those things that will always just go back and forth unless we, as Republicans, get a long-run term, you know, like I said, 4 under Trump and, you know, hopefully 4 or 8 under Vance.
Well, how do you even start? Because once you start going after this, and let's say you go right away at this problem, it seems like they have a tendency in these agencies to really strike back. I mean, we've seen that before. And I hate to say it, it just seems almost hopeless. Like, yeah, sure, you could win an election, but the bureaucracy, the unelected bureaucracy. And I would put, you know, some of these DHS agencies under that umbrella have tools they could use against the duly elected executive of this country.
You definitely don't want to feel like it's all doom and gloom with that position, but, you know, it's almost impossible. It can be done. I know for a fact it can be done, but to remove a career selected employee of the government is almost impossible. You can't even hardly demote them, much less fire them. I mean, to fire an employee in the federal government, it's not like, you know, in regular world, you mess up on your job, your boss can fire you. Or even if you gave them a second chance and put them on probation in regular world, you could still fire them. A lot of times, unless the act is so egregious within the civilian ranks of the government, you're talking 3, 4, 5 different actions until they get to the point that they allow you to terminate that employee, which that sounds crazy, but that is pretty much the system and the method that they require to remove an employee. I mean, could you imagine having a company where you got the Jeff Ford show and you want to fire an employee, but I say, hey, you know what? You got to give them 5 chances before you can terminate them. So that kind of system that they've built in to prolong and prevent termination of employees is where, you know, unless they kind of change those systems within itself, it's going to be hard to remove some of those rank and files. And not removing them because of their political affiliations, but a lot of times some of them need to be removed because of their incompetence.
Well, it's just you're right. It's this view of government. And government tends not to be much of a meritocracy. It's just we reward seniority in government, and there's a lot of things here. But I think, you know, there are some parts of government that perform a very essential service that we can't do without. Yet they kind of hold that hostage over they hold the American people hostage with that at times. It seems.
Yes, 100%. I mean, they're using DHS like we started out. They're using it as a tool in a political platform to hold American people hostage on the sense of, oh, well, we're not going to deport these immigrants, you know, criminal immigrants. We're going to limit how much money and budget goes to ICE and how much, you know, and they're cutting, you know, I don't know where you get to the part of that to where, you know, that's somewhere in the congressional levels of something they're going to have to get in place to prevent that if possible, because you can't have your federal agencies, DHS, FBI, and all these agencies that are hired and retained to perform a critical enforcement of laws being used as political pawns. And it goes back to what you just said. Then it holds the American people hostage at the whim of the political parties, you know, and that, it shouldn't be that way. You should be able to go out and do your job, enforce the laws on the land. If Congress doesn't like it, the president doesn't like it, our elected officials doesn't like it, then change the law. But don't use, you know, tools and tactics to play these games within the system and then punish the American taxpayer.
Well, and we'll wrap it up on this, but I want to get back. I mean, I know I've already iterated this point, but like, it seems like to me, say Trump gets elected day one, like he's got to move. There's just no time to waste here. And if he doesn't, the deep state has a way of just like striking back immediately, because it's 17, you know, the Clinton campaign, what was left, the remnants of it, you know, how does this well-oiled machine possibly lose? We had all the money and all the talent, had to be the Russians. And then, you know, the sort of the intel agencies, hey, that Russian thing is pretty good. Let's use that against Trump to kind of keep him on the sidelines. And it worked. They got Mueller in there. There was this sort of cloud of doubt over the entire Trump administration for 2 years until Democrats regained control of the House. And that was the, you know, but so like, it seems like to me, like he's got to move on this pretty, pretty fast once getting sworn in.
Yeah. He's got to. And I mean, I think some of the stuff that he's spoke about and then hearing from some of the other congressmen that we've listened to, that I think he knows he has to move on it pretty fast. There's no time to waste. I think, like you've heard him speak about he's going to move on the immigration stuff, I think, pretty fast. He's going to get some pushback. And as far as, you know, trying to get some of these people out of those positions, I think you're going to see him move on that as well. But he's going to have to do it pretty fast because, you know, it seems like you go past, it seems like he goes by in a blink of an eye. You know, he gets in, he gets sworn in, does his stuff. You know, you look up, you're 3 years in and you're ready for another election. And then that last year that, you know, everything kind of slows to a halt because they're on the campaign trails and out there trying to get reelected. So really and truly, you got a 3 year window to make a dramatic change and shift.
Angelo, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for hopping on this morning and good job last night.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on. You know, just call me anytime. I love being on your show. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank
appreciate it. Angelo Furbo, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Fuller Show on FM Talk 106.5. I've done it many times.